I think this is the vocation of the church. This is the mission of the church, that the church should defend the poor. The church should protect the poor. And if we don't do that, I think we have betrayed our vocation.
Mm.
This is my conviction.
Yeah. And yet the church in areas of faith and justice would have, you know, very strong views on representing the poor, representing the oppressed in places where there's great conflict.
That is true, but in certain places the church did not speak out. And the church voice was hushed, either by the situation or because they said, let us be prudent. And I don't say we should be imprudent, for heaven's sakes. Let us be prudent, but let us say the truth. The truth will set you free. Christ is the truth. The teaching of Christ is the truth. Why are we afraid of it? Let us say the truth with respect and with reverence, but we say it without diluting it. The minute we dilute the actual situation, we have already betrayed Christ.
Mm. Now, areas within your country, particularly Darfur, have been in the news very much recently. We've seen the images of people starving and people being displaced. When you look at those situations, I mean, how can we here, looking at those, in any way support those people?
Well, I think we have got to make a distinction between NGOs when they offer help and when the church offers help. We are not salaried. We are not employed. We don't have a scale of promotions within a certain institution. We are all servants. We do it because this is part of our mission. So I think when they say we give help, but the church should not say anything about any spiritual activity, I think this is an injustice inflicted on the church and the mission of the church. We believe that populorum progressio, the progress of all people, means that when we help people, we help them both soul and body. We cannot make a dichotomy between the soul and the body. If we separate the soul from the body, that means that person is dead. So when we help them spiritually and materially, physically and spiritually. And this is, I think, part and parcel of, that doesn't mean that I should proselytize, but they should know that the church is there for anybody who would like to seek the truth. Why not? I will accept that. We are not using material help for the sake of proselytism. But when we help people, they know I am a Christian and I'm doing it out of love, not because I'm salaried. And that's because of my vocation as a Christian I am doing it. So I am asking that governments who are trying to dictate on what to give and what not to give should understand that we are as important as the non-government organizations. Like what is happening now in the States, they say also faith-based organization have the right to be given financial help to be used for the poor and for the needy. And that's what is missing outside in Europe.
Now, when you look back at you go back to your diocese and you go back to your country, what do you hope for now in the immediate future, given that you now have a peace agreement?
It is very, very easy to demolish, to destroy. It's very difficult to rebuild. We have not only broken facility buildings which are needed, like schools and like dispensaries and so forth. We have a broken society, human beings. We have traumatized people. They need healing. They need to be rebuilt. And this is very difficult and needs a lot of courage, a lot of possibilities and perseverance. That's what I think we should do. Namely, I insist in providing clean water to the people because water is life. I insist, secondly, education and formation. And I did not say education. Education, information, that they go hand in hand, because through formation we prepare good citizens. We believe in also youth formation, the family, the African, the real tissue of the good extended African family was broken by this war, was ripped by this war, and I want to rebuild these families. Youth, they go just roam aimlessly. They know that it is only the gun that solves the problems, and now we have got to re-educate the youth. This is, for me, is a frightening situation, more than the war.
How can you do that? Do you need personnel? Is there other people there?
Said
money?
I have said it. I need. What do you call it? Personnel. You see, Africa is a big continent with different situations. So if I say to my brothers and sisters who are missionaries, come to Sudan, this is a challenge because it is not an easy field. It is difficult, I admit it. Weather-wise, it's difficult. Situation-wise, it's difficult. There are many parts of Africa where the church has already grown and become already almost independent, you know, personnel-wise. Why don't we look at the Sudan and try to rebuild this broken church so that it would be like her equals in Africa and worldwide? I am sure that after every crucifixion, there is a resurrection. But we need the manpower to help us to stand on our feet. We cannot do it by ourselves, and the challenges against us, there are so many.